And we'll be back with Sound Off Open Lines now on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Sound Off Open Lines this hour. Let's go back to the international line. Susanna out there in Ontario, Canada. There you go. You still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Go ahead. What's your story?
All right, here it is. I was in Brazil in the northeastern part. It was about my second night there. And just before I went to sleep, I knew, I just had this instinct that something, you know, something was going to happen. I've had a lot of these situations. So not particularly like this one. So I closed my eyes, and the moment that I did, I was elevated into this room, I guess, and these doors open. I entered out of this room. I landed on this stainless steel table. There were people around me. I went into this hallway. It seemed like a hospital.
Right, and speak up, Derek. I can barely hear you.
Oh, sorry. Did you get up to that part?
Yes.
Okay, so I entered into this hallway. I go into this room where there are a bunch of tall, very thin, they look like women. Their eyes were extremely sharp, with curly hair, and they had a hold of me, and I was screaming my head off, and I remember saying that, I know I'm dreaming, I just have to wake up. And there was this device that this woman had, and she put it into the side of my lower abdomen, and I remember it hurting so bad, and they just, one woman held onto my hand, and I just kept screaming, and then they picked me up, threw me into this tank full of water, which I could breathe in, which is really odd, and then I came out into this room, and I remember telling myself, okay, I know, but there were other people there. There were other people, you know, when I came out of this tank, and I didn't talk to them. I just remember sitting in a corner, and I said, I know this is a dream, and I started to meditate because I thought that's the only thing. I started to really try to feel my body so that because I knew it was in my head. And then I woke up with the feeling of the pain on the side of my abdomen.
They got you.
And honestly, though, I don't understand. Like, I mean, it didn't feel evil to me, but I really don't understand the purpose. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out. I tried to type it in and, you know, type the characteristics of these ETs or whomever they were, and nothing came up. So I don't, I you know, that's something that I'm trying to figure out.
Were you afraid?
I was screaming. I was screaming my head off, and I knew I didn't want to be there. But I knew before I went, I closed my eyes, that something was going to happen. So it's kind of, I don't know, you know, but I wonder if there is anything negative to it, because I'm a very spiritual person, and I don't necessarily, I don't feel comfortable with the idea of perhaps something being in me or, you know, I don't know. So I best place to call it, because if I tell anybody that, they think I'm crazy.
Well, you know, Susanna, there's a whole group of experts out there, too, who specialize in various aspects of what probably happened to you. So if you want to send us an email, we'll send you a list of those folks for you. Okay, Sound Off Open Lines this hour. Just sound off. Get it off your chest. Tell us how you feel. Let's go to our first-time caller, Mark in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. I just wanted to sound off about Barack Obama and, you know, sitting in Wright's Church for 22 years, listening to, I guess, a reverend who's down with the United States, and, you know, being friends with this William Mayers guy, and just everything about this man. I hope the American people will just stand up. I don't care what side of the line they call themselves on, and vote for McCain and Palin just to save our country. I think we can do some things with them, but I'm just hoping that Barack Obama, you know, this country needs to realize, I mean, this man didn't even grow up in this country, and I mean, he says his Muslim faith, I mean, my Christian faith, I mean, just a very scary situation, so I just wanted to sound off about that. And I was,
how about write it in Ron Paul? What do you think?
Well, that would have been nice. It sure would have. And I also, I didn't know if I could, I saw a UFO once. I've been wanting to tell you, this is the first time I've ever called in. I've tried many nights over the years, but could I tell you about that?
Yeah, go ahead, sure.
Well, I've listened. Now, this was back in 1974, and I've listened all these years, but I've never heard a story quite as good as the one I saw. But I was an All-American quarterback, and I was home from college, me and my best friend. It was just evening when you put the parking lights on your car back in the day, you know. And it was in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, and it was like, you know, the old-fashioned candlelight headlights, you know? And I told my friend, I said, I was looking at these headlights, but something was wrong because they were too high up. Well, it didn't take long, and I was only doing like 5 miles an hour down a dirt road, and I stopped, and it was getting dusk. Now, this took about 15 minutes till all of a sudden I stopped, I got out of the car, it was right there. 100, I'm going to say about 100 yards, 150 yards up and about 100 yards out. And a very high-pitched hum. And by the time that this happened, I stopped the car and I told my friend Bruce, I said, don't make any noise, Bruce. I had no clue what was going on. They looked like the same distance as a car would with two lights. But now all of a sudden it's up in the sky here. It's right above us. So I get out and I'm standing there and I can hear this high pitched hum, and it's almost dark by this time, and the hum just steadily increasing, like, but so quaint and so soft. And this vehicle starts to turn. Okay. Now, when it starts to turn, there's a stripe, a fluorescent bluish purple looking stripe that was about 12 inches wide. It was a wide stripe. And when this craft turned, it was about 75, 80 yards long. And we watched this entire thing, and it just turned. The headlights were going out of view, and the side purple bluish light was into view, and it did a complete 360. And then the side stripe light, it's turning away from us now, and it gets completely turned, and it's black. There's nothing there. Then, all of a sudden, it just does like a, and boom, this solid white light that was 35, 40 yards across the sky. How can I draw this? At the ends, at each end, there was an angle to it. In other words, the bottom of it was longer than the top of it, just slightly angled. Do you follow me?
Yeah, I do. And let me tell you, Mark, what you probably saw also was the same kind of object that so many people have reported seeing over the years. Big military type. I'm telling you, I think something that's earthbound. I really do, especially if it's, 300 feet long, let's say. Next up, let's go to Zoe in Vancouver. You're on the air. Hey, Zoe.
Hi, George. This is a sound off.
Yes, it is.
About the economy, the global financial meltdown.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm just looking at it a little bit more broader than just the United States or North America. And my thought was this, isn't it obvious that in order to impose a one-world system, you must reduce all the wealthy countries' economies to a common low level?
That's right.
You know, and with our high standard of living here in North America, we'd have to be brought to our knees by probably the same group who swindled us in the first place, and who will likely next move in for an unparalleled land grab. Because if you follow the scenario that happened before, we've had this group doing this same thing, I care not who rules a country as long as I can control their money supply, this gang. And power mongers, I guess you'd call them. And they decide who will live and who will die. behind closed doors, you know, in revolutions and wars. And because of the wealth ensures a scripted outcome. After they crashed the markets in 1929 and gobbled
up. Well, you know, Zoe, there's the New World Order. They're out there. They want this. They want to control. They want to bring people down to their knees.
And exactly.
I just didn't expect them to do it this fast. Did you?
Well, it's tied into something else. Now, they're just repeating what was successful for them after 1929. They gobbled up a lot of property, and then they ushered in or sort of facilitated World War II. Well, if they start doing the same thing this time around, even with the imposition of a short and furious war, there is a solution. And I was just looking at this because, to be sure, evil will universally be crushed. It was foretold at Fatima.
I hope you are right. Speaking of Fatima, my guest tomorrow is Father Nicholas Gruner. That's what we're going to talk about. So you're right on the button on that one. Let's go to our wild card line, Waylon in Houston, Texas. Hey, Waylon.
Hey, George. I just want to make a sound off with kind of a question.
Sure.
When people talk about being abducted by aliens, they always, most of the time, seem to involve some kind of pain. And my question is, if aliens are so highly advanced with all their technology, why can they not... I can't think of the word, but...
Do it without the pain.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they're masochistic ETs.
Yeah, either that or they are here for some sort of sadistic reasons.
Well, David Jacobs, who's a foremost UFO investigator, believes that fact. He believes that they're here and it's not for good things.
Yeah. Well, that's about it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Waylon. Sound off. Jeff in Los Angeles, you're up with us. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, George. This is Jeff. I'd like to sound off about 9/11.
Sure.
Okay, I woke up that morning, I left the TV on that night, and I didn't really know what I was seeing. And then what I remember, the first plane had already gone in, and there was a young black reporter on the ground, and he's talking, I don't know what's going on. And the camera zooms up, and you see the airplane coming from the left side,
mm-hmm.
and you see the tail numbers, and the camera came back down to him after it hit, and he said, that plane had no windows. And they never showed that again. But I remember looking at that plane, and I know somebody out there has got a tape of that going in, because now when they show it on the news or on these documentaries, they always show it coming from the right side, and it's so pixeled out you couldn't even tell if it was a duck.
You know, it is very possible, though, that the terrorists told all the passengers to pull down the window shades.
That's possible, but he was like right underneath it, and he said, no windows.
No, I know that, but I'm just wondering if all the shades are pulled on a plane and this thing is flying by,
right,
if it gives you that appearance. I mean, that's a possibility.
If somebody had that tape or someone recorded that, I'd like to have them send it to you and check it out.
Yep. Cecilia, Sarasota, Florida. Sound off, Cecilia.
Yes, sir. I have a sound off and a question.
Sure.
I heard a couple of months ago that Barack Obama has a half-brother, being that it's his half-brother's son, and everything. It lives over in Kenya and lives on $1 a month.
Something like that. That's exactly what I've heard.
I have never, ever heard anything about this again, and I like to sound off about it, and also find out if anybody else has heard anything more about it.
Oh, no, that's been reported. I mean, it's out there, and the brother apparently... I guess he's so down and out, he's a little, he's embarrassed to, you know, make himself wide known, but he's there. He's out there.
Yeah, that's what I saw on TV, that he was embarrassed and all that. I'm going, okay, he's concerned about everybody else, but he doesn't even care about his half-brother living in Kenya on $1 a month. And I mean, what the heck's going on about this? And why have I never heard anything more about this?
We'll be living on $1 a month pretty soon, the way things are going, huh?
It does seem that way.
My gosh. How things in Sarasota, Florida? Are you seeing a slowdown?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm on unemployment, and my unemployment has ended, and now I don't even have unemployment anymore, and it's really bad, just like everybody else.
All right. And I do believe what Yom Kippur is underway. Those are the Jewish faith, so... best to you. Jimmy in Brooklyn, New York. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hi, George. I want to sound off. We didn't win the Cold War. If you see what's happening, we're heading toward world socialism. The Soviets are on the march with Venezuela. They're arming Red China, who Red China now has more, 40 submarines, or so. They have more submarines than we have. Red China's all over Africa. The world Marxist movement is stronger than ever. The threat is bigger than ever. When strong feign weakness, Sun Tzu said 2,500 years ago, Soviet publications talk about the peaceful transition to world socialism, which we're heading that way, but they also say that the capitalists will never totally give up power, so they also have the military and their Muslim terror allies working at the same time. This is all happening at the same time. I'm surprised at the huge amount of work that they've got. They've got their man on the verge of becoming president in America. Bill Ayers is a Marxist revolutionary. I don't know how they call him a radical. It's like calling Hitler a radical. It's absolutely incredible. Right before our eyes, it's happening.
Well, we shall see what happens. The election's still a long ways off. You know, people send me emails saying, who are you endorsing for president? I'm not endorsing anybody. I don't endorse anyone. I just call it the way I see it. I talk about the issues, and that's just the way it is. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. There are issues that I may lean to either side, left or right. That's just me, and that should be what you do, too. You pick the issues that are the proper ones, regardless of what side of the fence they are on. I'll tell you of all the candidates that I saw out there during the entire trek of this campaign, I think Ron Paul probably had done the best job bringing the issues to the forefront and caring about middle America more than anybody. And he probably would have been a better president than the two major party candidates who are in there now. But just so those of you don't send me emails, I'm not supporting either one of them, regardless of what you think. Let's go to Ray driving around in New Mexico. Go ahead, Ray.
Hi, George. Good to talk to you again.
You too. And sound off.
I wanted to sound off on the presidential order 51, if I could.
And I do believe that's the one that gives them the omnipotent power during the calamity.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I was thinking about it last night, and maybe give me your opinion. I was thinking about it in terms of maybe George Bush is waiting to see who wins the election. And if Barack Obama wins, then he'll go ahead and enact that order and come off and say, oh, well, we can't let the Democrats take control. You know, I'm going to have to keep control or something like that. I was just wondering what you thought.
Well, you know, I didn't think about that. But what I have thought about is some event happening, something occurring during or after the election leading up to the first of the year that could give a standing president the right to stay in office.
I was just thinking about it in terms of maybe he's waiting to see who wins, because if John McCain wins, then the Republicans get back in and he doesn't really have any reason to use his order.
All right, interesting. Okay, sound off. That's what we're doing. We're going to do that for the next half hour. You've got the numbers. I'll be back. On our next program, Father Nicholas Gruner joins us as we talk about the secrets of Fatima. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back to Sound Off Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. We'll pick it up by going to you, James, in Madisonville, Kentucky. Sound off, James. Go ahead.
Yes. George, I have a sound off about
yes,
the economy.
Sir. Okay.
I think that Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke should listen to Jim Mars very closely.
Yes, I guess they should. And maybe Gerald Celente and Catherine Austin Fitz and all those others who've been on this show. But you know what? They won't do it, James, will they?
No, they won't. It's sad. Thank you, George.
Okay, they're in their own little world. West of the Rockies, Steve and Reno. Go ahead, Stephen.
George, sound off.
All righty.
Hey, buddy. I got to say one thing right out the gate. I admire your show, bud. I really do.
Thank you.
I'm a cab driver up here in Reno.
I appreciate it.
And you've talked about a lot of things with the economy. You're right on it, bud. And I just want to express it out here in Nevada. Just in Reno alone, the last month, there has been over 1,000 to 1,500 people laid off just the last month.
Oh, my God. In what businesses, Steve?
Casinos, bars,
okay.
Restaurants, more casinos than anything.
Unbelievable.
They're closing a casino up here. It's been up open. I was born in Virginia City, Nevada. They're closing Fitzgerald's up here in Reno. That's been open for over 50 years. And they're closing it first next month. That's 400 people going to be hitting the streets.
When does ski season start out there again?
You're looking at probably right around, probably a couple weeks before Christmas, usually.
I wonder, that's going to be a good indicator, too. If that slows down, there could be some problems there.
You bet. We've had some, we had a real bad winter up here about 4 years ago. We had 6 foot of snow right here in Reno. And since then, we've only had 2 or 3 inches and it melts right off. You know, but the mountains have been getting pretty good. Last year was a good year for skiing. And I'm predicting this year is going to be a really good year. You know. And
all right.
I'm going to tip my hat to you, bud, for your services in the Navy. I'm a former Marine.
It's my pleasure.
I was one of the guys that looked for John McCain over in Nam. I was out mapping POW camps behind enemy lines. And
do you believe, as some do, including me, that we left POWs behind?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I know we did. You know, and it just irks the hell out of me. I have two boys and a girl over in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I pray every morning that they come home safe, you know.
Absolutely. All right, Steve, you be careful out there. Next up, let's go to Burbank, California, greatest airport in the world. Bob, how are you?
What did you say, the biggest airport in the world?
No, the one of the best airports in the world.
Oh, Bob Hope Airport, where I work.
I love it. It is so convenient, isn't it?
Yeah. I used to work at the airport. I used to fuel commercial airliners, and I worked at Lockheed, too. So that's sort of bizarre, because Lockheed was right on the same tarmac as the airport, which is torn down now. Yeah, so I've been every square inch of that location. A lot of history. Howard Hughes actually owned a good portion of that airport one time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I worked in a facility. It was called Tiger Air after that, then went to Media Aviation, and now it's Millionaire. It's a fixed-base operation that caters to private jets.
Basically. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Cool. Good old Sound Off. Now,
Sound Off.
I would love. American people are so asleep. I mean, the country is being looted. You know, it's unbelievable. Americans are just asleep at the wheel here. I mean, I like to see the same kind of people who are running out and protecting our border. You had the guest on. His name skips my mind. Jim, what is his name?
Well, we've got a couple of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's protecting the border from you know, Mexican invasion, from millions of people. Well,
that could be Jerry Corsi.
No, it was Jim somebody, was it?
Jim Mars?
No. He has a website with his, like, dressed up as a Confederate guy. I forget.
Oh, God, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, anyway, there's millions of people, you know, involved in this, and they sent faxes to Washington, and we actually put pressure against the president, and he started to build a fence in order to secure this country. And that was pretty good. We need to do the same thing here with this economic terrorism that's been waged on our country. Number one, when 9/11 happened, you remember how we had an investigation of 9/11, a 9/11 commission?
Even though that may not have been the greatest commission, but you're right.
It was still a motion. I still flags up that, hey, we investigated. There was an investigation, even though it was covered up due to national security, this and that. So where is the investigation to the economic scandal that's going on? This is bigger than 9/11. This is
it's
way bigger
huge.
Than that 9/11.
It's huge.
We need an economic commission to be established, an investigation. You know why we don't? The White House will suppress it, because I know for a fact that they're tied into this thing. I don't know if it's intelligence. From my sources tell me that is intelligence is involved in this stuff. But, I mean, it's scary to know that we have no control over what's going on. I mean, our country's being run in a secret capacity. We've got presidents for whoever could remember how many years they're all been secret societies, you know. I mean, how can we trust our government when they're run by secret societies, winking and nod here and there, and all these guys are interrelated, they know each other. It's terrifying to know what the future of this country is going to be, and who knows what's going to happen. We've got, I mean, like with John Kerry, okay? Now, he was a low man on the totem pole. I'm sure that he was connected to secret societies. They said, okay, bow down, let us take the hand over the election to Bush. He said, okay, daddy. You know,
he was in the Skull and Bones. He was with them.
Well, yeah, he's in the Skull and Bones, but let's say that, you know, the Bush family is a part of the Masons or some secret society that's high-ranking, and he's part of the same club, but he's just a little, a gardener, man. You know, he's very low on the totem pole, and they say, oh, you know, you better back off, all right? Say, okay, Daddy, I'll back off, and you hand it over, because these secret societies are powerful. I mean, they control parts of Europe, Great Britain, and it's amazing, but what's terrifying is we have no control over our country. The thing is, it's being, like I said, run in a secret capacity where we don't know what's going on anymore. There's parts of our government that have never been policed. I mean, we need oversight for certain agencies, like the CIA's been running wild from 47.
How long have we been talking about this, Bob, on this program, about these secret societies, about the fact that things are going on with these shadow governments, and how many people believed us at the time? And now it's coming home to roost. We were right. I go to conferences. Every month I'm in a different city for a weekend. And I'm telling you, people are waking up to the fact that things aren't what they appear to be. Let's go to San Francisco. Deidre, welcome to the program. Sound off.
Sound off. My sound off is, I want to sound off to you, George.
Okay.
I was at the San Francisco Bay Area UFO Expo, and you were there. Not only were you there, you were looking good. But nice. I just wanted to thank you so very much for introducing so many of us to a lot of these esoteric subjects that you have introduced us to, and I enjoyed David Icke, and when I came out of the hallway and went down, my God, there you were! I said, oh my God! Okay, excuse me. Anyhow, the last part is, I just want to say this, that McCain is no maverick. He voted with George Bush 90% of the time. He is a George Bush III. He stated that if we are in Iraq another 100 years, that it would be okay with him. Our people are dying. I am a military brat. My father died in the Air Force. I have his flag on my table. And when I think of all of our kids, our sons, our daughters that are dying in Iraq right now over a lie, a war that was manufactured.
And you know, Deidre, because of this economic mess we're in, how many people are even thinking about us being in Iraq? It's almost as if it doesn't exist.
Exactly. They don't even have it. The media, our media is so controlled, we never see the death and the violence. We don't see when our guys are coming in the middle of the night where they have their caskets and the flags over their caskets. They hide this from us. As this violence goes on, and as the Halliburton and George Cheney and all this war profiteering over a lie, and George Bush, he's bought thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres in Paraguay, as we all know, as you know, George.
I heard his family did, and I'm sure he was part of that.
Exactly. Cheney has bought all kinds of property in Dubai. Okay? Because they know what is getting ready to happen. We have the Amaro.
It's going to happen. Deidre, let me take a few more calls as we're almost out of time. But sound off. That's what we're here for. These are your views. East of the Rockies, David in Thorntonville, Ohio. Hey, David, sound off.
Yes, George, I like to sound off about how we count votes in this country when there's three candidates or more.
Okay.
We don't get an accurate representation. What happens is the two candidates that are most similar pull points from each other. You got to give a first-place choice and a second-place choice to get a representational accounting, or 70 to 75% of the time, you're going to elect the least likely candidate, you know, acceptable to the people.
Hey, that's interesting. Now, in this particular election, do you anticipate any hanky-panky?
I think when you have electronics and stuff, you always have that possibility there.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Matt, first-time caller in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Matt.
Hi, George. I just wanted to sound off about these bailouts.
Sure.
I was just thinking to myself, you know, we bailed out the airline industry. How many times do you think? What if we just bail out the airline
industry? It never stops.
If we didn't bail them out, maybe we'd have a different energy source now. Maybe if we don't bail out the banks, even though it would hurt my industry, maybe it would still, we would benefit and find a way out. We're American. We can always find another way out.
We should take the hit. And I got to tell you, I am absolutely astounded by the fact that this thing has rippled across the entire globe as quickly as it has.
People forget. I mean, the United States is pretty much the stock market controls everything. And if we let it fall on its face, maybe we'll figure out a different way.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Let it bleed.
There you go.
All right, Matt. Let's go to Terry. Sound off, Terry, in California.
Hi, George. I'd like to sound off about how it feels like our government is selling us out right now.
Do you think they are?
Well, it feels like it when they're bailing out AIG for how many millions? And
$85 billion, and then they go off on a little resort trip.
Exactly.
With some of their executives.
And meanwhile, our food prices continue to rise, even though gas has come down. And I don't know how that works out economically. Why did the food prices continue to go up at the same time that the gas is coming down? Because supposedly that's why the food went up, right? Because of the transportation costs? And who's going to bail us out? The average American who can't afford to pay for their groceries anymore.
I know. It's tough out there, and there's just not a voice. And it's time for a complete change. Ran into a guy tonight here in St. Louis who said, you know what? I'm not going to vote for anybody. I'm going to vote them all. I am going to vote for the non-politicians. Well, in the presidential thing, you're stuck.
Yep, that's true. But, you know, one thing that I'm doing on a more and more serious level is I'm planting my own garden. I'm growing my own food. And you know what? They can just take their grocery bills and ship it to
work. But you better grow a lot of food if it's going to last you a year, right?
You know, this summer we just had 2 4-by-4 beds in our front yard, and we had enough vegetables not only for us, but to share with another family.
Really?
Yes. And some to freeze. And that's in 2 4-by-4 raised beds.
But you know, Terry, not everybody can do that.
This is true. But, you know, you can pot a tomato and, you know, there's another reason for growing your own is that, are you there, George?
I am.
Okay. Is that we worry about the immigration. Well, why do we have immigrants coming here to pick our own food when we could be growing our own? And the average American sits on, you know, a quarter acre of land in suburbia. And
well, let me tell you something, Terry.
We may be growing vegetables.
We may be calling you to send us a few tomatoes every once in a while.
Okay. Well, you know, I sent you an email, too, about Sharon Astick's Depletion and Abundance book. She would be a really good person to have on to share some things that the average American can do to become a little bit more self-sufficient.
I think our government's
not going to be there for us.
Our producers are already looking to her. Over. Let's go to Stephen in Washington. Sound off, Stephen.
Hi, how are you, George?
Good.
Long-time listener, Labor Day of 96. I started listening, and I'm also a Streamlink member.
Super.
So I love the show, but something happened last night with John Hogue, whom I really love. He's great at what he does. I just thought it was kind of irresponsible for him, though he's entitled to his opinion and everything, to start discussing this possibility that Barack Obama could be the Antichrist, and I thought.
Okay, but remember now, he did say that he personally felt he was not the Antichrist. He threw out that disclaimer right away.
Well, he came back to it because I listened to the show again today on the stream on the rebroadcast on the Streamlink, and he did come back to the subject again.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. He did do that. I think one of the reasons why somebody called in during that portion and brought it up again.
Yeah, okay, it just bothered me because, there are some unstable people out there, and somebody might hear that and run with it, you know.
You know, it's kind of funny about all this, you know, they talked about Mobus, I guess, And that's in there, and trying to figure out who it was. Was it Saddam? Was it George Bush? Was it somebody sent me an email this morning that Barack Obama has on his staff somebody named Mabus. Now that's weird.
Yeah, it is very weird. That's like the Kennedy-Lincoln thing, huh?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, okay, well, we're running out of time. I want to tell you again about tomorrow night's show, Secrets of Fatima. This is not going to be religious. This is going to be the mysteries of what these secrets are. There's number three. We still really don't know what the third secret is. But Father Nicholas Gruner is going to join us, and we're going to talk about that. And then, of course, Friday. We're already into Friday in another couple days. Open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM with our first hour guest on Friday, Joshua Warren, talking about ghosts. By the way, if you've got a great ghost story, send us an email at ghost1@yahoo.com for Ghost to Ghost, which is coming up on Halloween night. For Karis Colburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Tim Banal, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Lisa Lyon, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.